I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's 5 o'clock.
Funny, isn't it, son?
The world's greatest golfers are in New Jersey this week.
I keep playing. I don't think the heavy shit's going to come down for quite a while.
This is Prime Time on PGA Championship Week.
Brought to you by Redtail Golf Center's Summer Celebration Sale. Friday, August 5th through Sunday, August 7th. Save up to 50% off everything golf. Visit golfredtail.com.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080.
The good Lord would never disrupt the best game of my life.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is the third hour of our broadcast with your sports bros.
You having an aneurysm over there?
No, I was just clearing my throat, man. I had some of those wasabi nuts.
Oh, those hot nuts are so tasty.
I love hot nuts.
Yes. Enjoying my delicious nuts.
So, hey, we're back here doing some sports.
You did try some of mine.
You want to admit that you want more.
And you had to go get your own.
I did, yeah. I ate a couple of your nuts, and then I went and got my own nuts. And
they were delicious. Were they
not? In here, and it's not these wasabi nuts.
Put those in my mouth. So it's been a great day. Coming up in the club, 6 to 7. I have white lion news, and sticking on the theme because we love animal news here.
Yeah,
we're big. We're always following the animal tidbits that are out in the headlines.
And it's only a matter of time before our animal overlords fight back against us.
Yeah, that's right.
Sewer cougars, sewer bears,
well,
skaters.
Hence today, Primetime China.
Yeah.
A video of a tiger dragging a woman away from a car. It's horrifying.
It's coming. The tiger had finally had enough.
So we will talk about those items. And we have, if we get to it, I want to get to it. Audio of Doug Christie's wife.
Oh, yeah. I know of what you speak.
Yeah, her name's Jackie.
And she's insane.
Well, that's certainly one way to describe her.
I think it's the only way to describe her. But so, I like her way of thinking.
I don't.
I think this is something that every woman should do every time her man comes home. Holy jeez.
We'll have that later. That's in the club, 6 to 7. This hour, Maurice Harkless gets a new deal with the Blazers and some other stuff. Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
It's going to be quite a ride.
The hottest.
And hot air.
Quite a ride.
It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
5! 1, 2, 3, 4.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
We have the gift of spoken language.
Refreshed by Laurelwood Brewing Company. Handcrafted beer, local food, and kid approved. Have it all at Portland's original family-friendly brew pub, Laurelwood Public House and Brewery.
Number five.
A little bit of NFL news. The Lions have signed wide receiver Anquan Boldin to a one-year deal.
Yeah, he's getting to that point in his career where if he wants to play, you kind of got to seek things out and find a one-year deal, you know, here or there. But he is, I think, one of the more underrated players of his generation. Anquan Boldin has been a hell of a receiver in this league for a long, long time.
Why has he bounced around so much?
I think he's always a bit underappreciated because he's not the flashiest guy. He's not a burner. He's viewed as a possession guy, maybe long in the tooth, and people just, you know, always feel that there's a cheaper or maybe a better option out there. But pretty much everywhere he's gone, he has been an integral part of the offense and has really done wonders for being kind of a security blanket for quarterbacks and helping younger receivers.
This will be his fourth team, of course, all his years in Arizona, Baltimore, San Francisco, and now headed to Detroit. Jake Long heads to the Ravens. The offensive lineman gets a one-year deal.
Number four.
Boldin, by the way, 35 years old now, so we're getting to that point here where any year now this could be done.
Jim Delaney, who is the head of the Big Ten, and he's speaking because it's Big Ten Media Days.
By the way, some people call him the most powerful man in college football.
All right. He said he does not anticipate the Rose Bowl moving from New Year's Day to accommodate the college football playoff.
I love the fact that the Rose Bowl can just give everyone the middle finger. It doesn't matter what else is going on. The Rose Bowl just says, blank you, we're not moving. Doesn't it seem just backwards that a bowl game can dictate terms to the national championship?
How do they allow that?
I guess it's just you have to have the Rose Bowl involved. And
okay, do you take... Well, you do. That's true. It's part of the contract. Do you take, if you're the college football playoff and Bill Hancock, do you take drastic measures to try to get them to move?
I think I would. I think if there's a little bit of... Look, I get tradition, but you got to fall in line here with what everyone else is doing. You have billions of dollars on the line, and the Rose Bowl should not be bigger and more influential than the national championship game. I mean, everyone else falls in line. Why not the Rose Bowl, for heaven's sakes?
Blue Jays get outfielder Melvin Upton from the Padres in a trade today. They give up pitching prospect Hansel Rodriguez.
Whoever that is.
He's in the rookie league, but he's a high upside arm. San Diego says they'll pay the majority of the remaining $32 million left on Upton's deal, crappy deal that he had with the Braves.
Yeah, by the way, this is the BJ Upton, if you didn't know. I mean,
yeah, he
changed his name. But he's had a nice little resurgence.
He's having a good year.
He had some bad times there, but you look at him, he's hitting, 250, 260, 15, 16 home runs?
Stealing some bases.
Yeah.
He'll have to compete for playing time in the Jays outfield, but he has had a nice year. Toronto just three back of Baltimore.
But it gives you an option, and he can DH for you, too, and move it around. It's a nice pickup.
The stat that I saw to make this trade good for the Blue Jays is that he is an incredible fielder, and their outfielders are terrible defenders.
Yeah, he is a good defender. And he has a size 24 waist.
What?
What?
Who?
He's just skinny.
He has a 24.
Have you ever seen him? He is so freakishly skinny. It's really weird to watch him play.
Got Barbie proportions?
Yeah, a little bit. But the Padres continue to dump guys. They've traded James Shields, Drew Pomerantz, Francisco Rodney, and now Upton.
Boy, I guess I never had really paid attention to how skinny he is.
Number two,
where are we at? Otis Nixon a little bit. When he's in the Braves uniform.
Maurice Harkless gets a new deal with the Trailblazers,
yes.
Folks.
The Blazers apparently are willing to give anyone and everybody at least $10 million a year. And this, you know, this is for a guy who, a week ago we were talking about a one-year, $4 million qualifying offer, and out of nowhere he gets 4 years at $10 million per?
Yeah, he gets 4 years, $40 million. It is interesting. I guess the only way you can explain it until we hear from the GM bro is that while they probably could have gotten Harkless back for 1 year, $4 million qualifying offer because no other team offered Harkless a contract, at least that I know of, they could have done that if they felt that Harkless was a long-term piece of the puzzle, which they obviously did. It would cost them more to sign him next year, so they went ahead and locked him up this year.
Well, you look at the Blazers. I think it's one of the deepest lineups in all of the NBA. I mean, it goes 11 deep, and to be honest with you, Noah Vonleh isn't going to sniff the floor. I don't know how he even gets a minute, barring injury, with a loaded front court at this point.
And the reason he would get more next year is, one, the cap's going up, and two, surely he would have more value next year than this year because he has no value in the league this year. It's really weird.
Can't really go down any, and yet he's still got Myers Leonard money.
It's just real shocking that they gave him that much money considering there wasn't much of a market for him, but I think that's what it is. They just wanted to keep him long term. This is a reasonable deal for both sides. Let's make you a part of this. Here you go. And number one, Pete Carroll gets a new contract with the Seattle Seahawks. He is officially an old. At the age of 64, is the oldest coach in the NFL.
Boy, he sure doesn't act like it. Doesn't even really look like him. He's got the gray hair, but is really energetic. And this is on the heels of them locking up their GM, Mr. Schneider. So if you're the Seahawks, got your GM, you got your coach, you got your quarterback, you got your nucleus of your defense. You can keep Michael Bennett happy. The Seahawks should be good and seriously perennial contenders for the next, at least the next 5 years.
Signed through 2019.
Yeah.
We do not know how much monies he will make.
And I wonder when Pete Carroll will finally get the credit and start getting put on the list of all-time great coaches.
Yeah.
The guy, we talk about Jimmy Johnson and how great Jimmy was, who won a national title at Miami, won two Super Bowls in Dallas, built that thing from the ground up. Pete Carroll won multiple national championships at USC, went on a run every bit as dominant as what Miami had going on down there, took over a Seahawks team that wasn't very good, rebuilt it. Again, now granted he did it with Schneider as well, but we won a Super Bowl. Probably should have done another one.
I agree.
I mean, at some point,
The guy's really good.
You have to start talking about Pete Carroll as one of the all-time great coaches, period, any level.
There's something about him, though, where he just doesn't quite get put up there.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because at USC, they deemed to have cheated, although that was, you know, the whole Reggie Bush thing was... I mean, I don't know how you could draw that conclusion from just that.
Yeah.
But it did seem rather loosey-goosey down there.
Well, didn't Jimmy Johnson's at Miami, though?
And he bailed right before sanctions.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that no question, Jimmy Johnson. But Jimmy Johnson also didn't have all the years, at least as high-profile as Pete, leading up to it. They were wasn't that good, you know, with the Jets and the Browns. And so that made you think that maybe there was somebody else behind it. And John Schneider gets a lot of the credit. He just got locked up to a big old fat contract.
Well, and he should.
And by the way, Pete Carroll was not very good. And was getting a lot of heat in Seattle
yeah.
until what?
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah. No, I just think if you are talking about legacy, we have to start considering Pete Carroll. You just
as what?
One of the greats of all time. Period. How many guys have won at both levels the way he has? There's not many. He is on a very, very short list. That have done it, and he has done it now for an extended period of time at both levels, and I think it's damn impressive. And I just think that the easy kind of going nature of him, I think people kind of assume that he's just like he's a figurehead, and it's just not the case. And the guy, people forget, he is a defensive guy. And for all the talk about Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush and obviously Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch, what has been the calling card of his championship teams at USC and in Seattle? Defense. And Pete Carroll is a defensive-minded coach, but he doesn't get credit for being an architect of anything special, and just kind of gets viewed as a figurehead that is just there, and it's not fair.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to make north of $8 million a year. He is one of the three highest-paid coaches in the league.
And he should be.
Sean Payton and Bill Belichick, the others.
And Seattle will continue to be good for years to come as long as that relationship stays between Schneider and Pete Carroll.
Interesting. Text your thoughts. Why do you think Pete Carroll doesn't get the credit he deserves? Or do you think that he gets the credit he deserves? You can text us at 55305. And some sports coming up, 514 on The Fan.
Red Tail Golf Center's Summer Celebration Sale.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 518. We're going to stick with the NFL here, folks. The National Football League, you may know that. This is the professional football league here in the United States.
I think I've heard of it.
Note.
I've heard of it before.
Pete Carroll gets a new deal with the Seahawks, and he was taking a lot of heat before Russell Wilson got there. I mean, I remember talking here on the show about, you know, is he the right guy? And should the Seahawks be thinking about another coach before it all clicked? I mean, he was there several years before it really clicked. I mean, I think
it's
now...
It's like that Belichick guy before, Tom Brady.
Well, now I think... Right, exactly, but... I think, and you have to have a good GM and a good system and a good structure and culture. And Pete Carroll's really helped build that. I mean, he is a culture builder.
Yeah, he went 7-9 in both of his first 2 years.
Right, 7-9. After that second year, I remember specifically being here with you.
Yep.
Talking to Seahawks experts and stuff about.
Is he the guy?
Is he the guy? And people are like, I don't know.
But he was building something and they, you know, they... Then popped 11-5, 13-3, 12-4, and 10-6, and they've been to two Super Bowls. Sure,
yeah,
won
but,
both.
You know, he got his quarterback. So it's funny how good quarterback and a good GM can make you look pretty good. And yeah. I'm not trying to diminish Pete. I think Pete's great. But where does he rank on the all-time list? I mean, I'm looking at a list here of the greatest coaches in NFL history put together by ESPN. And they have Lombardi 1.
Yeah.
Bill Walsh 2, Don Shula 3, George Halas 4, and Chuck Knoll 5. Does he break that?
No.
Hot 5? Okay, so
no,
then you keep going. Paul Brown, Bill Belichick, Tom Landry, Joe Gibbs, and Curly Lambeau.
See, and to me, when I look at Pete, I think I include his college stuff as well. That's why I said greatest coaches, period.
Yeah, I didn't think about
it. Because
that.
Not many have done.
Well, Jimmy's on here at 13.
See, and to me, he is Jimmy Johnson. What he built at USC was more impressive than what Jimmy Johnson built at Miami. He did it for longer. He kept it going for longer. And what he's done in Seattle, I think, is very comparable to what Jimmy Johnson built in Dallas. Jimmy won 2 Super Bowls. Pete went to 2, didn't win the other one. He was a yard away from it, if you want to blame him for that. But I think what Pete Carroll's done, if we're going to call Jimmy Johnson a top 13 coach of all time, then to me, Pete Carroll belongs right there. And if we're talking overall coaches, I'll give Pete Carroll the nod because I think what he did at USC more impressive than what Jimmy Johnson did at Miami.
This text says Pete Carroll will never get the credit he deserves because of the contributions of the 12s. That is a great text.
Oh, those damn 12s.
They don't even need a coach. Just let the 12s coach them.
Really?
They're that good.
They just roll the ball out there and see what happens?
What else do we have here? Nah.
Right here, now. I'm looking at their record before he got there because people were like, oh, they went to the Super Bowl. Before Pete
Holmgren?
Yeah, before Pete arrived, because people are saying, you know, he took over, they were 5-11, 4-12, 10-6, 9-7 in the years before he got there. Okay. And that was under Holmgren and then Mora.
Holmgren was
for a
pretty
year.
Good there.
Yeah, well, I mean, they went to a Super Bowl. That was what, 2 years after what I said, they went 13-3 with Sean Alexander and Hasselbeck and company, and they went to a Super Bowl. But the 2 years before they got there, they were 5-11, 4-12, and were flat out
you
bad.
Know, I think a couple. Well, let me.
And they've been
more.
To the playoffs every year except for one that Pete Carroll has been there.
Yeah, because one of those 7-9 years they were in the playoffs.
Yeah, they were in the playoffs.
Let me read a couple more texts. Pete is overrated. Even a blind squirrel finds an occasional nut, and that nut's name is Russell Wilson. See, a lot of people feel that way though, and I think it's because he's just not that likable. He's kind of. I mean, I think he's likable if you're in his, in other words, people around him and people that have played for him love him. But when you're on the outside looking in at him, he does come across as kind of smarmy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that hurts him. Now, you would say, well, Bill Belichick's a jerk. Vince Lombardi was a very edgy coach. And a lot of people here are pointing out that those types of guys are more palatable in football because there is this perception that you have to be that type of gruff character in order to be a great leader, like Tom Landry or
There's a stoic nature to it.
And Pete is not that way. No. And I think that rubs people the wrong way. There aren't a lot of coaches that operate like him in that regard. And he's very excited on the sideline and stuff. And I think that makes it so that some people don't like him and maybe diminishes some of what he's done because in the eyes of some people, they just don't like the way he acts.
But that Russell Wilson thing, one, how about the fact that they found and developed Russell Wilson? How about that? How about Pete Carroll had the balls to start Russell Wilson, to keep Russell Wilson? It's not like Russell Wilson came in and lit the world on fire in his first 8 games. And by the way, that especially that first Super Bowl wasn't built on Russell Wilson. It was built on a defense. And you know who is the defensive, now he's not the defensive coordinator, but you know whose forte is defense? Pete Carroll. And to say that a blind squirrel finding a nut that is Russell Wilson, well, how do you explain the 7 straight Pac-10 titles and the 2 national championships and the 3 national championship games that he won at USC building outside of Nick Saban, the greatest modern day college dynasty that we've seen? What
great recruiter, underrated X's and O's guy.
Yes.
I think college. And then the NFL, I think it's just the way he is kind of rubs people the wrong way. Now, if he's Bill Belichick and he wins 4, Bill Belichick can do whatever the hell he wants and say whatever he wants. He can be the biggest jerk he wants. Nobody cares. The Patriots have won enough. The Seahawks have won 1. Now, they almost won back-to-back. But if he gets to that level where you're at Belichick,
then everyone
it doesn't matter. Sure. And you're already comparing him to Belichick and some of the other greats.
But even the Belichick thing, what was Bill Belichick before Tom Brady came along? He didn't do crap in Cleveland. And he wasn't great in New England until this 6th-round pick. And by the way, if you want to talk about finding a squirrel finding a nut, they identified Russell Wilson in the 3rd round and drafted him with an idea that, yes, this is a guy that can play. Tom Brady was taken in the 6th round on a lark. And the only reason Tom Brady played is because Drew Bledsoe almost died. They drafted Russell Wilson in the 3rd round, and Pete Carroll had the gumption to bench Matt Flynn, who was the number 1 free agent quarterback in that offseason that they paid $15 million to, and he sat Matt Flynn and started a 3rd-round pick under 6 foot in Russell Wilson. So don't give me this Pete Carroll stumbled upon dumb luck with Russell Wilson. That's hogwash. And that defense is what led Seattle to the success they've had. And someone else pointed this out on the text program, and I would like to echo this one as well, that the first 3 years that Pete Carroll and John Schneider were there, they had more roster moves than any team in the NFL. They scrapped that thing down to the bones and made all kinds of different moves every week. And people are like, man, what is this revolving door? Because they were building the team that they wanted, Schneider and Pete Carroll together, and they crafted one of the great defenses of all time by doing that.
No, that's true.
That none of that is,
but you know,
none of that is luck.
Of course not.
None of it.
He's obviously very good. What we're debating is where does he fall in the in the pantheon? And you're making the case, hey, he's way higher than a lot of people give him credit. I'm just trying to throw out reasons why he maybe gets knocked down a peg. Yeah. Another one, too, is isn't it funny how, and as we're talking about Belichick and Bill Walsh, we've talked about this a million times, but all the greatest coaches all had what?
Great GMs.
They all had the great players. Look at Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Shaq. Look at Red Auerbach, Bill Russell, Bob Cousy. Look at Belichick, Tom Brady. Yeah. Look at Bill Walsh, Joe Montana.
You got to have
all the great coaches. It's funny how it's such a hard argument to have because we don't really know. How do you really on paper separate everything and
Belichick
Bill Belichick's a greater coach than Pete Carroll? Maybe Bill Belichick just had a better situation than Pete Carroll. And actually, Pete Carroll's a better coach than Bill Belichick. And if he would have taken over Bill Belichick, the exact same thing Bill Belichick had, he would have won five. You know, it's the same thing as the quarterback debate. It's very, very difficult to rank them. So it's the reality is when you get a quarterback, you're certainly, I mean, it's everything in football.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Walsh is not Bill Walsh without Joe Montana, is he?
No.
And Bill Walsh is certainly
respected. And Joe Montana isn't the greatest quarterback of all time
without
Bill Walsh.
So when you're one of the all-time greats, yes, when you're one of the all-time greats, I don't think it's any coincidence that we talk about Bill Walsh and Joe Montana being the all-time greats at their craft. And we also talk about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady being the all-time greats at their craft, and they had each other, right?
Yes.
Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan. That's because it takes both, and what Pete Carroll got in Russell Wilson is pretty special. Russell Wilson is a really good quarterback. I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady, but
he really damn
dude
good.
Is one of the top five quarterbacks in the league, and that's when it took off in Seattle.
And to the point I was trying to make, too, is especially in the NFL, Belichick, I guess, is technically his own GM, but he's had Scott Pioli and some personnel guys, and it really helps to have an architect helping to build your team in the NFL. And when you have synergy from management to a good GM and a coach that all get along and make decisions together, it's another huge part of it. And yet we use that to knock guys saying, well, he didn't build it on his own. No one builds it on your own.
No.
Doesn't happen that way.
Well, Jimmy is probably the closest thing.
Jimmy's the closest thing.
But he's... Yeah, he's a pretty special guy.
He built that thing in Dallas without much help. That was a pretty special thing that he did. And then he got fired because he hated Jerry Jones. He kind of got himself fired because he didn't care anymore. That's the amazing part is he just walked away at the top of it and was like, whatever.
I love him for that. Yeah. He is so... I saw an interview with him with Joe Buck. Remember that TV show,
yeah,
Joe
that
Buck.
He did briefly.
Yeah, he had Jimmy Johnson on there. It was a great interview about Jimmy's attitude about all this. He went through all of it, and it's just like, man, the guy, he'd rather be fishing. Yeah. Like, he's just like, hey, give me the best players, and if I have the best players, I'm going to win. It's not about X's and O's. It's not about anything. Give me the best, and let's figure out how we get the best players. And that was his attitude at Miami, and that was his attitude in Dallas. And when he realized that there was this tussle, and it's going to be hard to get what you want, he's like, screw it.
Whatever.
I'm going to go deep sea fishing.
I just love that after winning two Super Bowls, he just started attacking Jerry Jones just because. And his thing was, if I get fired, I really don't care.
God, you gotta love
that is amazing to be able to do that.
Well, anyway, Pete Carroll is good. How good? Well, let's let him finish his resume, a la LeBron James, who now all of a sudden... LeBron James, we've debated him for years, right? And all of a sudden... They're down 3-1 in the finals, and we're saying, here we go again. Can't get over the hump. It's the easy East. He's great, but he's no... Then they pull off one of the biggest comebacks in NBA Finals history, if not the biggest, against a team that many thought was the best team in history. Right? How do you knock LeBron for that? And all of a sudden, our comments about his legacy are now skewing towards, well, if he gets the all-time scoring title, which he is on pace to do if he doesn't get hurt, and he wins one more, maybe he's better than Jordan. See how quickly that flipped with three games.
Yep.
So just let a guy complete his resume before we try to put him in a box. Pete Carroll, though, is on his way to being one of the best all-around coaches that we've ever seen.
Yep. My whole point of that whole thing is I just don't think he gets the credit for it.
He doesn't, but it also comes down to rings. You know that Dan Marino gets knocked because he didn't get a ring. And it's the same with coaches. It's like,
winning one isn't enough anymore. We got to win.
It's not golf. You have to have people around you. You have to have a GM. You have to have a quarterback, so on and so forth. Anyway, thanks for your text on that, 55305. Coming up next, I don't know.
I don't know. Got to call you back. Got a guy on the other line about some white walls.
Did you see Kevin Durant and Draymond Green got booed in LA?
Yes, I did.
When did the Warriors become the ultimate villain? What was the tipping point? Because they are now.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that next. Here is Michael. Young Mike Lynch with Sports Center.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Redtail Golf Center's Summer Celebration Sale.
On 1080 The Fan.
So Kevin Durant and Draymond Green, of course, are on Team USA. And they were down in L.A. playing China the other day.
China!
Boo!
I love Los Angeles!
And...
USA!
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 Where's your patriotism, jerk?
I was just kind of
caught
up in the moment. And
hey, Mike.
Normally, you two do that together.
I know. I don't know what's wrong with you. Are you okay?
Okay. I'm okay. It's my newfound liberalism. Apparently, it's causing me to not love America.
I just don't get it.
America!
So, hey, they
were
down there.
Even that sounded forced.
What?
Even that sounded forced.
You don't love our country.
Clearly not. I don't anymore. Not even a patriot. I don't know what to do.
The people tune in to hear you.
To hear me, America? Or I guess, America! I was reading an article about tattoo ink and how it may kill you, actually.
Well, it's a good thing one of us doesn't have tattoos.
I know. Dodged a bullet on that one. Actually, I think two. Lynch doesn't have anything, do you?
Nope.
Yeah, you guys, so we'll see you guys in
the
grave.
You got the super half-sleeve shoulder thing going on.
Yeah, I'm going to... Look, everything's going to kill me eventually, right? So might as well be this. Bring it on.
So they were being booed by the Los Angelians.
I think they're going to get booed by everybody.
Los Angelians?
Los Angelinos.
Is that what it is?
Well, it's a Billy Joel song, so I'm going to go with that.
Los Angelinos.
Yeah.
I don't think that's right.
That is.
It is?
It's a Billy... Well...
Okay, but that's what you call people from Los Angeles?
That's what he calls them, and who are you to question the piano man? I'm going with Los Angelinos.
Yep, it is. Angelino is a native or inhabitant of Los Angeles. Plural noun, Los Angelinos.
Suck it, Rop. Boom.
Los Angelinos.
Yeah.
They were booing those
Lynch,
guys.
Go pull Los Angelinos, will you, from Billy Joel? Now I just want to hear it. But yeah, they're going to get booed wherever they go. Like, no one can root for the Golden State Warriors. Like, unless you're from the Bay Area, even then, you got a 50-50 chance. You can't root for them anymore. You just can't.
No.
And it's going to be hilarious because there were so many douchey bandwagon like Golden State fans, and watch them all disappear now.
Well, look, last year, 6 months ago, they were the toast.
Yes, they were.
And we were talking about how hard it is to hate them.
Well, and they were fun. And
they're so good.
Yeah, just they were lighthearted. Curry,
when did it change? What happened? When did they become the ultimate villain? Was it Kevin Durant?
I think Kevin Durant was the icing on the cake, but honestly, I think the attitude in the playoffs and the arrogance and the kicks to the balls and Draymond Green, and then I think a lot of that stuff just... This is Los Angelinos, by the way. Good tune. I just think a lot of that stuff kind of started to wear on people, and when you're that good and then you become arrogant and kind of cocky, again, it's the Cubs thing. You go from being kind of the underdog to being the favorite and kind of being the juggernaut that's rolling through people. And I think people just turned on him. And then the Kevin Durant thing was the final death blow. Like, you can't root for Golden State anymore. You just
can't. What
no,
if I do?
You can't.
What are you going to do to me?
I'm going to Draymond Green you in the jewels. But don't worry, it won't be on purpose. It'll just be a random leg flail on my part.
Curry's incessant whining, bandwagon fans, Curry's unending act as a pitchman, Draymond sportsmanship, media fawning. It's all too much.
Yes.
Says one of our texters.
The best way to put it is when you've got a band Like, Lynch likes a lot of crappy indie bands, death metal.
Good one. Good one, crappy, yeah.
But you like a lot of non-traditionally popular music.
That would be correct.
That would be correct. So who's one of your favorite bands?
My favorite band is Between the Buried and Me.
Between the Buried and whatever. That group.
And me, it was simple. It was one more word.
Between the Buried and Me. And I'm sure it's got a big little underground following. If Between the Buried and Me sold a million records and started playing the Rose Garden, you know for a fact, like 50% of the fans of them right now would turn on them and hate them for no other reason than they became successful and old men like Rop were showing up at the concert and wrecking your experience. It is very hard to achieve that level of success and still maintain kind of the spunky underdog lovable feeling that you had in order to get there. It is. And Golden State, unfortunately for them, they became too popular too fast and people don't like it. You become too good and people will turn on you. It's what we do in this country. We build you up and then we kick you in the nards.
Another text says the Warriors became the villain the day Steph Curry turned around before his three went in. Fans hate when one team wins a lot. They really hate it when you rub it in. From Jordan.
There's an element to that. I mean, when you're winning as much as they are, how do you not end up being unlikable?
Another one, for me, Golden State became the enemy when Draymond Green kicked Adams in the junk and the NBA did nothing because they were down 3-1.
They did suspend him later on after he punched LeBron in the fun bag.
You know, interesting note here. He says that decision probably moved Kevin Durant out of Oklahoma City.
Yes.
Because if Draymond Green does not get suspended,
Oklahoma City probably wins.
They might win that game.
There's a good chance they win the NBA. They win the NBA Finals, and
well, no, they would have won it, wouldn't it? Yeah, it was Game Five. It was 3-1, and that was Game Five.
Yeah, but I'm saying they still would have gone on to win the NBA Finals.
Oh, that's right.
That was the Western Conference.
Wait, what am I talking? No. He got suspended in the.
He got suspended in the Cavaliers series.
That's what I mean.
Oh, because you said Steven Adams.
Yeah, well, that's what his. Yeah, sorry. He was talking about the Steven Adams kick, but he's talking. He flipped it to the Cavs series when talking about the decision by the NBA not to suspend or to suspend. Sorry, Draymond Green
could have changed the fate of that forever.
Absolutely,
and Kevin Durant
because
as well,
if they don't, right. Does that make sense?
Well, because if they had suspended him, you know, for the Steven Adams kick, he may not get suspended for the LeBron James one. You know, it was kind of almost like this cumulative effect. But yeah, those decisions that Draymond Green had and the NBA had, whether to suspend him or not, had a huge impact on the league from this series and then, you know, going forward in years to come with the breakup of Oklahoma City and Russell Westbrook maybe being dealt after that. It was a huge decision. Now, to be fair, the game that Draymond Green got suspended, they got their asses whipped.
Right.
Like, I don't know if Draymond Green being on the floor makes a difference. I mean, Cleveland laid it on him. And does Draymond Green make that much of a difference considering the fact that he played in the next two and Cleveland still beat him?
It was after the All-Star break. Golden State griped about the Blazers taunting them and they taunted the next team that they played. Yeah, the whole Blazer thing when they were up in that game. Blazers were up like 28 or 30.
That
and they
was
were
bad.
Lillard was still chucking up threes.
With like 3 or 4 minutes left. And yeah, Golden State.
And they did the same thing.
Yeah, Golden State kind of bitched and moaned and that had been kind of Golden State's MO.
Yeah, that probably hit some Blazer fans the wrong way. Others saying Curry's wife on Twitter.
Yeah. I think the best way to say it is just a lot of little things. It's overexposure
It's exposure to everything and then they just nitpick you.
Yep.
This guy's like, Warriors became the villain when we realized Curry is an arrogant SOB and not just a fun-loving guy.
Well, but
I don't know.
Is he not a fun-loving guy simply because he turns his back on a three or... I still think Steph Curry is a very likable player. I think he's a lot more. Draymond Green to me is the one that's probably unlikable.
Yeah, I think Curry and Thompson are really likable.
Yeah, and I think Kevin Durant's very likable. It's just that Draymond Green kind of becomes the he's the point of that spear and probably gets a lot of maybe negative attention for some of the stuff. Although I think it might have been Steph Curry. I'd have to go back and see that. Was it Steph Curry that made the comment about the locker room still smelling like champagne? Because I thought that one was kind of.
I don't remember that.
Remember someone talked about going back to Cleveland and they were like, oh, it's fine. As long as it still smells like champagne because they want it on their floor.
Ew.
Like there was stuff like that kind of made me happy that Cleveland turned the tables on them and kicked them in the chops.
All right. Thanks for the text. 55305. Up next, in honor of Chris Sale, when athletes melt down. 546 on the Fan.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Red Tail Golf Center's Summer Celebration Sale.
On 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, I think Sue's on the toilet.
He ran out real quick.
Yeah, he said, I got to hit the head. I think there's something wrong with him. How'd it come out? Everything okay?
Good. I just had a meeting I had to attend real quick.
Yeah.
Got caught up by the boss, hey, man.
Meeting of the porcelain gods.
What? No. Listen, man.
I had to talk to the boss.
He's not in today. Neither of them.
Yeah, it was a different boss then.
Yeah, look, I've been there, man.
Look, when things happen, they happen.
Yeah, at least you made it to the end of the segment.
Yeah.
That was good.
And you made it back at the almost beginning of the segment.
That was good.
Some serious clutching over there.
That was a quick turnaround, Suke. I'm impressed.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do sometimes.
Well, you're not a fast mover.
No.
In that regard. No. I am. I think there are two types of people in the world, fast and slow.
Let's take my time.
In the bathroom. Yeah, you're a time taker.
Like to post up a little bit, yeah. Maybe read a fine article.
But
you
take your time, but you're against reading your phone.
Yeah, I like to have reading material.
See, that doesn't make any sense.
Why is that?
Because if you like to take your time, the premier way to waste time in the bathroom is to use your phone.
Yeah, the difference is I don't like my phone. I prefer a nice periodical.
Good use of the word premiere, though.
Thank you.
Enjoyed that.
Bravo. Yeah, I like to have like a, you know, maybe a magazine, some sort of newspaper. I do a lot of good book reading on there. Post up for a while. You can get through a nice book. It's always good when you go through, like, I heard a biography of Roosevelt almost exclusively doing that. And I felt pretty good by the time it was done. I was like, that was probably 90% done on the throne.
But see, the problem is if you're reading, your elbows are digging into your quads probably, and then your legs go numb.
You got to build up a tolerance to it, Mike. Get yourself a nice wide stance. Get comfortable. You're going to be a while.
Look, I'm not going wide stance in the bathroom. Thank you.
It's one of my favorite places in my house.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's a controversial statement.
Oh, I love the bathroom. Look, the bathroom can make or break your whole home experience. You've got to have a home field advantage. If every day is an away game, oh, no good. In fact, I had someone the other day tell me that home is where you truly feel comfortable doing that. And no matter where that is, if you feel comfortable, that can be home. That's home field advantage. Yeah, that's the friendly that's confines.
So I like to spend as little time as possible in there. Anyway, we're going to have to do this tomorrow, but we're going to talk in honor of Chris Sale, who cut up the White Sox throwback uniform.
That's the dumbest story I've read in years. This is the same guy, by the way, that freaked out about Adam LaRoche's douche kid.
He is one of the major sports red asses of our time.
There's unbelievable. No question.
But wait till you hear what he did, if you haven't already heard, and we'll get to it tomorrow, but we should talk about memorable athlete meltdowns, because there have been many.
I don't know if I've ever heard of anything quite like this.
But we've run out of time, so that will have to be tomorrow. I want to tell you that also on tomorrow's show, folks listening and watching, Festus Ezeli will be on our broadcast.
Allegedly.
Yes. We have not heard back yet. There is no time.
No. But
he's in town.
The offer was made.
The offer was made. They offered him to us.
And we said yes.
Yeah, we're like, yeah, sure, why not?
So now we're just waiting.
Yeah. And when they offer, like, they're good over there. Colin, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And so he offered, and so he'll get him on the horn with us. But that'll be sometime tomorrow. Stay tuned to social media for times. Isn't that great? What did we do before social media?
Are you going to Snapchat that? Are you going to send that out?
We are on Snapchat.
Are we?
The Fan is, yeah. I'm not.
Just for the last week. Brand new.
Brand new Snapchatters. Mm. We're on there. But no, I'd probably tweet the time so that people could tune in if they wanted to. You know, I've always felt like people just tune in when they can. You know, like when to me, like sometimes when you throw out like, hey, make sure you tune in tomorrow at 4:30 for this.
No,
they're like, if that sounds cool, but I can't. I'm busy. I got
if you happen to be in the car at 4:30, you're listening. If not,
right,
screw you.
But when it comes to like a Zeely or something, I'll tell you the time.
Disappointment radio.
Maybe.
Eric wants to know, is this going to be before or after the Troy Aikman interview?
Well, it will. There is no Troy Aikman interview. It will be before the not Troy Aikman interview.
Well, no. It'll be after Troy Aikman because he's on at 3:15 every day, supposedly.
No, he's not on. That's the joke. Hello? My God, we're terrible.
Caller, are you there? Sioux Falls, go.
Hey, look, let's just abort. Coming up next, let's talk White Lion.
Let's talk about White Lion. Can we talk about Extreme while we're at it, or possibly Rat?
No, not the band.
The Scorpions.
No. You don't even know. You don't even know. Not the band.
Oh, well, I want to talk about the band. Can we talk about Trickster while we're at it? How about LA Guns?
I think you mean Trix. Was it Trickster?
I thought it was Trickster.
I think it was Trix. T-R-I-X. Not to be confused with Y and T.
The breakfast cereal with the rabbit on it?
Wasn't there a band named Trix? Or was it Trickster?
I thought it was Trickster, but I'm not certain.
You might be right. I don't know. Look.
Can we talk about Wasp as well?
We have nothing right now.
Queensryche.
The band is called Trickster.
Ah!
T-R-I-X-T-E-R.
What'd they sing?
Boom! Feeling it. Hell if I know.
The first thing that pops up on YouTube is Give It To Me Good.
That's right. I feel like we should come back with Give It To Me Good by the legendary rock band Trickster.
God, I don't remember them at all. Okay, listen, we got to get out of this segment because it's terrible. Up next, you will hear about a white lion that has been born. And we have tiger news, very scary animal news coming up.
The animals are finally taking back their retribution.
Dumbass.
It is 5:57 on The Fan.
It's time for an NFL report. The inside story on pro football. Brought to you on The Fan by Toyota of Portland on Broadway.
I mean, it's not too frustrating at all, to be honest with you. I'm not worried about it, so I think that's a great thing. If it was something more serious, I'd be, kind of be a little nervous, but it's something that's not a big deal. Obviously, everyone wants to be healthy, and like you said, I've already had a year off, so I don't need any more time, but it's part of the game, and we put in a lot of work and we're prepared, and we'll just continue to do the same thing.
Who's that?
That's Jordy Nelson talking about a setback he had in coming back from an ACL tear. And
I read that.
You know, it's like we all just assume now with these ACL tears that you're back like in like 5 months and you're Adrian Peterson. It's a major surgery and there can be complications. And I won't say this is a long-term thing, but it's not like taking candy from a baby coming back from one of these ACL tears.
Yeah, just ask my wife.
Oh, yeah, she's down again, huh?
Yeah, ripped it up again. That's the hot sports news of the day.
It is.
That we buried the lead. NFL report brought to you by Toyota of Portland on Broadway. Find out why not all dealerships are created equal at toyotaportland.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.